A thought for today. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my oneness as all. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my oneness as all. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my oneness as all. It's so easy for us to confuse the quest with the achievement, to confuse the desire with the fulfillment, to confuse the dream with the reality. Our quest is human. It always will be, always must be. That's why we have the human body. That's why we have the human experience. That's why we have the human emotions. That's why we have the human interaction. We feel that we cannot be an island unto ourselves. We are in an ocean of allness, where other human beings are necessary to our survival, necessary to our expression, necessary to our being. So long as we hold that opinion, so long as we feel we are not, number one, unique, separate, alone, fulfilled in ourself, then we will continue our human quest into infinity without ever fulfilling it. But the moment we begin to realize that we are number one, I am number one, I am the only person in the universe, I am the only expression, it seems ludicrous, it seems stupid, it seems unbelievable, but it is not. There is only one. There is only one point in time, there is only one point in beingness, there is only one point in expression, and that's me. That's you. That's each individual. For the rest of the world is meaningless when, to an individual, when that individual turns his attention away from the world. When any individual turns their attention away from anything, whatever they had their attention on is now meaningless to them. And their life is the only life that matters. When I have an important engagement, and I must go and speak before a number of people, and the people are waiting for me, and on the way to the engagement, I think, my goodness, I think I'll go to a movie instead. And so I completely erase all the people from my mind, and I go to the movie, and I forget about the people. I'm number one. I'm enjoying the movie. I have no thought about the people. When I come out of the movie, I go to the place where all the people were, and I find that the people were satisfied, they were fulfilled. Something had taken the place that I would have taken. They did something else. But it didn't matter, because I did what I chose to do. Now you say, that's irrational, that's inconsiderate, that's wrong. Yes, from a human point of view, that's wrong. But consider another possibility. I'm on the way to give a lecture to a lot of people, and on the way, my car breaks down. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. I've taken a side road to help me expedite my trip. And not another car on the road, and I am 20 miles this way, that way from everything. I have no cellular phone with me. So I think, what a wonderful opportunity to just sit here in the car and be still and meditate and know that I am God. And so I quietly sit there and meditate and know that I am God and enjoy whatever time I choose to sit there. And through the night, I'm just wide awake, enjoying knowing that I am God. And daylight dawns and I see the beautiful sky with its many colors, the sun creeping across the heavens, lighting up each of the clouds underneath and then from atop. And they sparkle and glow with the radiance that I have created there. Now there is no one in the universe looking at that cloud scene except me. I am the only person at that point. I am the only person existing in the world, and I created those clouds. And then I think to myself, well, I think I'll get back to the farm, back to the ranch. And I go out and look in the engine, and I see that a cable has come loose. And I take that cable and reunite it with its proper connection, get in the car and start it up, and I drive back home. And as I drive into the yard, everyone is delighted to see me. Not one person says, why weren't you at the meeting? Not one person says, where were you? Not one person is concerned about my whereabouts, because I do not create them concerned about my whereabouts. They just say to me, hey, it's time for breakfast. And we have a fine breakfast. I'm number one. When I can realize that I'm number one and build up that confidence within me of being number one, of having everything exactly the way I choose to have it, but what about the rest of the people in the world? What about their rights? What about their expectation for you to come to the meeting and speak to them? What about the other people in the world who were worried about you, were worried that you were not present at the meeting and nowhere to be found? What about them? I don't create them. I don't create anyone worrying about me. I don't create anyone at the meeting feeling sad that I didn't arrive. The instant they realize that I'm not there, they either have someone else speak, or they do some other activity, or they say, something has delayed him. He is not here. We will hold this meeting at another time, or whatever. And the people say, oh, I understand. Those things happen, no problem. And they go their way. I don't create them angry. I don't create them upset. I don't create them irritated. I don't create them in any way offended, in any way affronted, in any way unhappy with my not being there. Because I'm the creator of my world. Now you see, when we arrive at that level of consciousness, the quest is human, and then the quest begins to change. And the illumination that begins to flood upon us of, hey, I'm number one. Hey, I'm the master of my thought, my attitude. I'm in control of my entire world. And then we live in our oneness as all, because all of our creation know exactly what we feel and think at all times. And they do not worry about us. They do not concern themselves about us. It's only if they don't listen. And of course, if we create them not listening, then that's our expectation again. We have the privilege of creating this world exactly as we want it. We have the privilege of creating ourselves exactly as we want it. Well, we heard Mr. Chopra last night speaking about that same subject. And as he spoke about this subject, each one of us affirmatively nodded our heads many times. for he spoke the very things that we have been speaking for a long, long time. And he spoke them exceedingly well. In fact, it would be a good idea for us to read that again and again and again. Because the manner in which he presented the things is very acceptable. We enter into things on a very strict principle basis, which sometimes is a little hard for people to accept. Shouldn't be, but it is. And the way in which he presented it was a very gentle, very sensitive way, using King Arthur and Merlin and the king's stepbrother and another knight. You see, it was a beautiful expression, a beautiful rendition. It showed how the young men were on their quest. And on their quest, they didn't realize that their quest included everything that comes into their quest. And they said to the visitor, "We're busy, we're meditating. We're on a private quest." And if instead of doing that, whoever they created coming upon them in the night, if they had invited them into their circle and said, "Come, because obviously the castle was not far away, the lights were on in the castle. If the person had wanted to be in the castle, he would have been there. But for some reason, they created that person coming into their circle." We do this all the time. We create people coming into our circle. And then as we create them coming in, we try to push them out. "No, no, no. I haven't time for you." "No, no, no. You have too many arguments." "No, no, no. We don't want to be a hotel here. We don't want to be a place where people come and just live and sap. This wants to be a place where people come and evolve their spiritual consciousness, their spiritual reality. That's why they're here. Nobody is here to have a good time. They're here to have a spiritually illuminating time. And if anyone's here for just a good time, they soon go away. And that's okay. But those who are here for a spiritually illuminating time, that the most important thing in their entire world is to walk their spiritual path and to do everything that leads to it. Merlin wasn't easy on Arthur. Merlin demanded that Arthur think very heavy thoughts. I demand that you think very heavy thoughts too. Merlin demanded that Arthur see his miracles that he performed, which were nothing but magician tricks. J.B. Bernard Schneider, he can create fire. He can create flowers out of nothing. He can do the magician tricks. Perhaps he's not as astute as another one, but that doesn't matter. They're just tricks. And if you're here because you want to learn tricks, then you're missing the boat because you have the wrong teacher. Go to the School of Magicians. They teach that. Go to some other organization or church where they teach magic and miracles, like the Maharishi, like many of the Hindu schools. Swami Rama and his schools taught them, but he didn't teach them. Swami Rama did no miracles whatsoever. He did miracles, but he didn't do miracles that he drew attention to him. If people saw him and lived in his presence, they recognized that he indeed was a miracle himself. And you're surrounded by miracles here too, but you don't open your eyes to them. One day you will. When you do, you'll think nothing of it, because by that moment you'll be illumined and you'll think, huh, that's an ordinary thing, very quite common. This is what I want you to have in your life. A quite common attitude toward being spiritually illumined. For as you know, once you are spiritually illumined, you don't remember that you weren't. Once you are spiritually healed, your entire history is healed, and no one ever knows or remembers that you at any time had an illness of any kind. We look at people who are the picture of health and we say, my, what a good fortune you have. We don't realize that that person in this lifetime, in their body, spoke the word of truth about themselves and continued it all of their life. And that's why they are looking as beautiful as they are. We can speak our word about it too, but no, we speak our word of race consciousness. At 40, you need glasses. You have menopause at certain periods of your time, and periods and things like that. These things just take place in your life. If that's what turns you on, stick with it. If smoking cigarettes, cigars, and pipes turns you on, stick with it. Drinking alcohol and other types of things that are deleterious to your health, stick with it. But when the moment comes that you want to turn your attention 100% to your spiritual path, all of those things will fall away. All of those things will no longer be of any interest to you. You won't have to stop doing them. They just won't be of interest to you. We know that Ilse loved to smoke. She tried to stop smoking many times in many different ways. Then all of a sudden, she no longer had an interest in it. How very strange. We all walk our spiritual path and gain our illuminations in different ways. We are not a clone of one another, we are unique. But in one thing we do stand alike. We are the creator of our world, number one in our world, and there's nobody else in our world except us. In that we stand alone. In that I could not name any other beings, because there are no other beings in my world. There are people in my world that I create, but I'm responsible for them. I'm responsible for every thought they think, every action they take, every desire they have, every emotion they have, every thing that they do. I'm responsible for that, because they're my creation. And so today I take responsibility for that creation. And I say, I am in charge of my thoughts. The word gay was used by the homosexual people because it was a convenient word. And so the word gay took on a totally different texture. Some people still use it to mean happy, joyous, free now, even though it has the other connotation. Well, the word master now has come into disrepute also. It has taken on a different connotation. It has not taken on the connotation that you are in charge of yourself and you are a master and always were a master and always will be a master and know it now. It's taken on the connotation that it's a gift that can be given from the outer. And because of that, we'll probably be using the term a great deal less. But we will be using the term that you are divine. We'll continue using the term that you're God, the term that you're beautiful, that you're wonderful, you're fantastic. We now have a new direction for ourselves. And after reading the lesson last night from Mr. Chopra, I think we all opened our eyes a little bit, but not totally. Because we must come to the conclusion for ourselves, or not. What is our purpose, our goal, our direction in life? Is it to walk our spiritual path, or just to enjoy our human bodies and all that it calls forth? That's okay too. To be a wonderful human being is a very commendable thing in the human world. And the humans will admire you and love you and respect you. And the more human you are, the more they'll admire and love and respect you. As with Mr. Clinton. As with Mr. Kennedy, the bedhopper. They weren't bad people. They didn't do anything different while in office than they did before. But while in office, they represented the cultural milieu of the American people. They represented how far the American morals, mores, principles, attitudes toward right action, toward rules that have been established, can fall. That's of no consequence to us. What is of consequence to us is what foundation do we have under our castle here? What are the principles by which we guide our life? What are the rules by which we choose to operate our experience? Do we know what they are? Do we believe in them? Do we follow them? What might a rule be? A rule might be, I am God. A rule might be, I am all. A rule might be, I am creator of my world. I live in my eternally perfect, ideal spirit, mind, and body. My body is eternally perfect, and it's the archetypal concept or the ideal that I have before me at all times. And it's not only with my physical self, but with my total beingness. What is it that you'd like? What is it that you desire to experience for yourself? What goal do you have for yourself? What aspirations do you have for yourself? What expectation do you have for yourself? You can have it. It's just a matter of what it is that's important to you. Now, right now, Button has walked over to Ingeborg and walked on her papers and taken his paw and put it on Ingeborg and said, "Pet me." But none of you seem to think that it's very important when I say during the 3-hour meditation, we do it absolutely alone. with no pets, no people, no anything around us. We are absolutely alone. We do it in our own inner closet, because the pets certainly like to come and gather our attention. The vibrations of others are creation, true, but the vibrations of others like to be instilled upon us and make us feel that way. Ellen says she likes to say her 3-hour meditation aloud. That's a very important thing to do. But if Ellen were to say her 3-hour meditation aloud in your presence, you would be overwhelmed by her enthusiasm and her joy. Some of you during the School of the Masters, and I guess it was School of the Masters, not Master. In the School of the Masters, you gained a great inner feeling of joy during your 3-hour meditation. Not all of you, but some of you. And you'd like to repeat that now. Well, the experience you had during the 3-hour meditation during the School of the Master was unique and special to that. It had nothing to do with the fact that you were dedicating 100% of your time to your program, which you were not doing. But it did have the vibrations of the activities that were going on around you having a great impasse upon what you were doing. And you can do that right now today if you wish to. To be totally in charge of your thinking, totally in charge of your thought. Being separating, leaving your pets aside and people aside and everything aside, and just living in that oneness. I would not discourage you for anything in the world not to follow the 3-hour meditation. I would not discourage you to follow the 3-hour meditation because it is a very valuable tool for you. But I would encourage you to realize that when you are in a school situation, when you are in a training situation, you do one thing. And when you're alone, you do something else. And perhaps we'll continue the training situation for an indefinite period of time. But when you get serious, you say to your husband, your wife, your kids, your people in your world, I have something important to do. Please don't bother me for the next couple hours. And you go into your bedroom or your study or your den or your car or whatever, where you can be alone. And you do that which you chose to be alone for. And when you have finished, you breathe a sigh, and then you go about your business, your world. Think on these things. They function beautifully. It will bring you great, great, great rewards on your spiritual path. And you can do it right now. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my oneness as all. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my oneness as all. The quest is human. The illumination is divine. I live in my allness. I live in my oneness. I live in my reality. I love you.